So then
they announced her first runner-up. And I could not believe it. Of course, I did what you're supposed to do. The tears weren't really tears of joy. They were, oh my, what is this? What are the judges thinking? Walked the runway, got to the end of the runway. I can remember that. That was just amazing. Looking into that camera, Atlantic City is huge. The size is 3 football fields, and the runway is just enormous. So that was very dreamlike, but I kept thinking, stop crying, because you look awful when you cry. So I looked into that camera and thought, stop crying, and then walked back. They had all these stairs, and I walked up the stairs, and I just kept thinking, stop thinking, because I was just freaking out, so upset, because in a second, my life changed. It's hard to imagine now, because it's not quite the same, but it's like becoming a Beatle overnight. I mean, it's instant celebrity with guards. Your life is completely not yours. Walked up the stairs and kind of kept it together through the photo shoot. Everyone was kept away. There were policemen, and people were yelling and wanting to touch me. I just couldn't believe it. And I just felt so inadequate. Did everything I was supposed to do, went back to my mother finally, and cried all night. Cried. And I'm so sorry that there wasn't somebody that came in from the pageant and said, oh, it's going to be fine. We're going to take care of you and we're going to help you. But it was a time of transition for their chaperones. So there was no chaperone that came in. There was a woman who came, but she wasn't a warm and kind woman. I don't even know who she was, but she came and she just kind of glared at me. And I'm sure she was thinking, what an idiot. She's crying hysterically with her mother. And I was crying saying, I don't want to do this. I want to go home.
Your mother was with you.
She was with me.
And she stayed with you that night?
Yeah, she was my chaperone.
What were her words to you then?
She was just comforting. She didn't know what to do either.
Right.
Because she knew me. And nobody told her, we're going to take care of your daughter. My dad had been kept away. It was a rule that you could have no men close to you in case somebody would think they were not your father. So it was just the two of us, and she didn't know either. No one was telling us. So I was just distraught, and I cried and cried and cried. And then I looked terrible the next morning for all the pictures, and I cried. And then I've told this story many times, but it's a precious, precious way of God reaching out to me. The rules were that no one could come to your room. You couldn't answer the phone. An Atlantic City person would answer the phone for you. And that was to protect you. But again, the chaperone that's normally with you was not there for me. But a phone call came through, and it was Leonard Gillingham, who was our most favorite Methodist minister, and he had baptized my dad and me in the Sentinel Methodist Church many years ago. And I don't remember our conversation, but it was kind of like I finally took a deep breath and realized that I was not by myself and that God would be with me during the year, that I didn't have to be a perfect Miss America. You know, I just kept thinking, they don't know me. I've never flown in an airplane. I was 19 years old, had never been in an airplane. How was I going to be Miss America? I had never been in front of a group to speak, to sing, yes, but not to speak. They didn't know I was this shy bumpkin from Laverne. How was I going to do this without my parents, without my friends? Talk about outside your comfort zone. My comfort zone was thousands of miles away. It was just such a big, big shift in my feelings of ability to handle. But this reminded me that I wasn't called to be perfect, and I wasn't alone, that I just needed to be faithful. So I kind of took a deep breath. We went to dinner that night, and the pageant manager had gotten word of my not being happy. So he was kind of blustery. He wasn't really a part of my year at all. But we didn't know that at the time. But he was cold and kind of blustery. Mm-hmm. He approached my dad and said, hey, if she doesn't want to do this, we'll get somebody else who does. And my dad just stood right up to him and said, fine, I'll take her home. Are you going to take care of her or not? Good for him. Mm-hmm. So finally, they brought the chaperone around, Peg O'Neill, who was this feisty little 5-foot-tall Irish woman from New Jersey who traveled with Miss America and was adorable and sweet and was like, oh, honey, I'm going to take care of you. We're going to have the best time. So the next morning, my parents left, but I was with Peg. We got in a limo and drove to Philadelphia, and I was on the Mike Douglas show. Then I met the vice president of marketing for the Van Loan Corporation, Lola Costigan, a New Yorker, a career woman, and Lola was so wonderful to me. I was getting ready to meet the New York Press Club, and Lola said, honey, here's my diamond bracelet. I'm putting it on you because you are stunning. They are going to love you, and you're wearing our clothes, and no one could wear them better. Oh, I loved Lola. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just needed a little bit of that, somebody that said, you're going to be fine. And it just happened that I kind of dropped in a vacuum for the pageant. I knew I couldn't give it up. I mean, I really thought about it, but I knew I couldn't. And I couldn't because of Oklahoma.